The following is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net for December 23rd.
Good evening.
The time is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, December 23.
Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It is also available on Echolink as W1DX-R. That's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. And as a note, we're always looking for anyone that would like to try their hand at being net control. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. The TIPS net has three sections. The first, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, is just described. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. The third is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have, like this. And if no one has, then press the mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net at Net Control Station, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come now with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo Charles 1 Kilo Lima Zulu, otherwise known as KC1 Kills, John and East Lyme. Yeah, I got a question.
This is Kilo 1 India Kilo Echo, K1IKE, Joe and East Adam.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no question.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich, no questions at this point.
Zulu, Dan, Mobile, Nyanic.
No questions.
As a kid, a matter of fact, that's how I got started in amateur radio.
I had a similar type of radio. The AM band used a large coil inside to receive the AM broadcast. When it went to shortwave, it required an external antenna. So it might be that you need an external antenna for the medium wave and shortwave bands. You can just hook a wire in there, 10, 15 feet of wire, and you should start to hear something. Or it could be just that the tubes are weak, and as it goes higher in frequency, they don't amplify as well. With that, back to net control, M1IKE.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Very good. I'm going to move Stan up to next in line because he is mobile. And plus we'll see if the advice that Joe gave him helps. Or if Stan has any thoughts about the radio that John was talking about. KC1GQZ, this is KC1TWR with the tips net.
KC1GQZ, you are correct. I have an Yaesu 8900. I'm not sure what you were mentioning about the bottom left button now, because all the buttons run across on the bottom. Are you talking one for the very far left? This is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
I guess I'll pick it up. I actually used the wrong term. The bottom left knob, the volume control. I called it a button because you press it. If you press it once, it'll say init off or something off. That should get rid of those tones. A very common problem on these 8900s, and I've got two of them, one in the shack, one in the car, and I'm constantly bumping that button. So press the bottom left volume button in once, and the display should say off.
Okay, Stan, give it a try.
This is KC1GQZ. Did that improve? Over. Back to net.
Yep, got rid of all the noises and sounds. Excellent. So, any comments for this round, seeing as you're mobile?
I have no comments for this round. This is KC1GQZ, back to net control. Thank you for the help.
Okay, thank you, Joe, for helping Stan out. Excellent advice, and it worked. Okay, next we'll go to Dave, who may have also have some thoughts and about Joe's comments about John's comments about the IGA radio. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, this is K1DCT, and I am not familiar with an IGA radio, but pretty much, as much as I hate to admit it, I have to agree with Joe, IKE, that, yeah, more than likely the AM band is an internal, bar type or some kind of coil, and anything beyond that, you need some sort of external antenna. The more, the better. So, plug a, get 15, 20 feet of wire and plug it in that antenna spot in the back of that, and tune around somewhere around, 7780 or somewhere up there. There's a few very strong stations just above the 40 meter band, so I think that will clear things up. Or, as Joe said, tubes might be getting a little weak, so higher frequencies will not be amplified as advertised. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Very good. And next we'll go to Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR in the tips net.
Good evening, Tim and the Tipsnet, KA6PDG. Well, I think the question has been answered 100%. It must be Christmas, because I agree with Joe and I agree with Dave. Wow, all on the same night, too. But yeah, I think that was that should help you out. John, I believe, is the name. And back to net control. I will try to... I'm going to be running in and out of the shack, so go ahead and call me, Tim, as you normally would. But if I don't answer, it will be because I'm doing laundry or something. K6PDG.
Okay, very good, Tim. Thank you for the fair warning, and we will give you a call. Okay, because the question seems to have been fairly well answered, normally I'd ask this question at the top of the list, but I think I'll interject it now. Two things to chat about. One is the fact that the International Space Station is going to have a slow scan TV event that starts tomorrow and runs through the 31st. I have details if anybody's interested, or you can look it up online at ARRL.org and various other places. The other item is that the FCC has started cracking down on pirate radio landlords. Apparently, there is something called the Pirate Act, which has been updated so that parties that knowingly facilitate illegal broadcasting on their property are liable for fines up to $2 million. So once the property owner is notified that there is illegal broadcasting going on, they're then on the hook to do something about it, or else they can be fined. So that's something new. Okay, let's move on down the list and see how Steve is doing. In K1B, this is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
John's question about the receiver, I'm not familiar with it. It's before my time, but I did recently last year, which was kind of just more of a story than an answer. An older Yaesu receiver, it was a shortwave receiver that a friend of mine that gets involved in some estate stuff had given it to me. He didn't give it to me, but had let me take it to try and test it out and everything to see what the value would be of it if it was functioning properly. And I hooked that to, it did work very well, very nice condition. I hooked that to my random NFED with, I think it's like 80-something feet going out to a 9-to-1 that I just keep kicking around, you know, just hanging out there just for whatever. And boy, I got a lot of stuff on that thing with that. And, you know, it pretty much works across the board. Very nice receiver. I wish I remembered the model number, but also the stakeholders wanted it back after. So I was hoping to come up with a number and throw it at him because it was a gorgeous piece. But so that being said, let's reset. And actually, since the recreating of the TipsNet, I think that's I think we have a record this evening that we had an unexpected problem with the MCASU and almost an instant repair within a few minutes. And I ran into that with the ASUs, and then I forget about it, and I've heard other people with them, and it's a couple of their other radios. The 7900, I think, had something like that, and my 1802 has something like that, too. And it's a pain to remember how to reset that stuff, especially when you're in the middle of a net and everything like that, so that's kind of cool. And the space station slow scan, yeah, I'm glad you reminded me that, Tim. I will look it up, because usually when I can hear the space station, I'm not set up to receive it, and usually when I'm set up to receive it, I can't hear it, that whole thing. So I think I will, my 7100 should just mind meld with the computer. I got to remember what program I used last time, and just leave that going, and see what it comes up with, because it's kind of a, with all that's not going on lately, that's an interesting thing to receive. Back to that, and KMV.
Okay, very good, Steve. And I had a Yaesu FT60R handheld, and that had a button on the bottom left, a wires button, and I know that those are easy to accidentally bump, and it created the same kind of an issue. And good luck getting those TV pictures from the space station. Should be interesting. I wonder what pictures they're going to send this time. Okay, then we're going to move on to Jerry. See how he's doing. K1JMN, KC1TWR with the TIPSnet.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. K1JMN here. Yeah, I have no questions, no comments for the evening. Just listening in. Thank you very much. And K1JMN, back to net.
W1FJW following Jerry's good example.
Well, Chuck, how did you know I was about to do a call up for next station? I've got you written down, and anybody else that would like to join the TIPSnet this evening, please come now with your call sign.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Victor X-Ray, Kevin and Groton. Good evening, all.
Okay, and it also recognizes Kevin, KC1MVX. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, gentlemen, we're going to give you instant service. And Chuck, I am going to go to you just because I want to make sure that you were saying that you were here primarily just listening and you had no comments. Would you reply to that or else give us whatever comment you would like? W1FJW, KC1TWR.
No, I'm afraid I'm just listening. I have no questions, comments, or any other material that could be misconstrued as wisdom for the net. But if I hear a good question, I might come up with an answer. W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, very good. In that case, we'll go to Kevin. I don't know how long you've been listening. I will say that we started with a question from John, KC1KLZ. He has a 40-year-old IGA radio that can pick up amateur radio bands. But he wasn't out of any luck. And the answer was that it might have another tap for a different antenna for that kind of those frequencies. And we also talked about the fact that slow scan TV is going to be from tomorrow through the 31st, and also that once notified, property owners who have illegal transmissions coming from somebody on their property, could be a renter or whatever, they can be fined with appropriate notification, of course. So how are you this evening? Any comments for the net? KC1MVX, KC1TWR.
Thank you, Tim. Good evening, all. I missed the question, but it sounds like one of those things that would just be fun to sit down and troubleshoot. Something that old, I mean, who knows, it could have those old Edison bulb, not capacitors, but noise filters, and maybe one of those went out, or it could be the antenna lead. Sounds like people... got an answer to it, though. But definitely one of those you just sit down and tinker with. As far as the International Space Station slow scan thing, my only experience with slow scan is Josh K0JEB's website he set up. But it is something I've been interested in. I know my ICOM 7300 has features in it that will allow me to do slow scan something, but I don't actually know how to use it, so that'd be pretty cool. And, yeah, the FCC thing, I did see that. And that was interesting, but my first thought was, you know, I'm glad to see the FCC taking these violations more seriously. I'm also a bit nervous to see how people who don't understand anything about amateur communications react to the FCC fining them or threatening to fine them on somebody using their radio to broadcast and then them seeing some antennas up in their series of apartments or townhouses or condos and panicking and saying, take those down, we're going to get fined. So I highly recommend everybody refresh themselves on the Part 97 guidance for basically what allows us to have that stuff up, although it tends to pertain to state and local authorities, not really to landlords per se, but probably going to have to answer some questions in the future once they start to get wind of that. Anyways, happy holidays, everyone. KC1NVX, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. And see, if I was an amateur radio operator in a building where such a thing happened and the landlord sent around a notice saying take down all antennas, I'd probably want to talk to him, explain fox hunting, and saying I can help him find the exact person that's causing the issue. And because it could be that the pirate radio is an AM radio or an FM, not necessarily amateur radio. And as a matter of fact, I am thinking that the FCC would probably be more interested in the AM-FM pirates than amateur radio. But I could be wrong. Okay, let's go around to the top of the list again. And we'll start with John and see if he understood the answer and has any thoughts or any other questions or comments for the second round of the TipsNet. KC1KLZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1KLZ. I think that answers the questions pretty good. I've been playing a little bit with the wire off the back, but I've got to extend myself. I'm going to try to get it out to around 40, 50 feet, see if that makes any difference, good or bad. I want to thank everybody for their insight, and I'm getting ready to go to bed. Everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is KC1KLZ. Back to you, Nat.
Okay, very good. Thanks for joining us, John. Glad we were able to provide assistance to the various members of the TipsNet here. Although, actually, I don't know if we have members per se. We have regulars, though. Definitely regulars. Okay, let's move on to John. Correction, Joe. Joe, any comments, thoughts, or questions for the second round of the TipsNet? K1IKE, KC1TWR.
K1IKE, yes. What did you call it? The Pirate Radio Act or something?
Yes, the Pirate Act. They listed it as, I'm trying to see if they have a number here, and I'm not seeing any. There are three properties getting notices. Notices of illegal pirate radio broadcasting. And it says here that the Bureau issued an announcement that it is exercising the FCC's new authority under the recently enacted Pirate Act. Pirate is spelled just like you'd think, with a guy with a peg leg and a patch over one eye. And it says, which gave the Commission a significant new hammer in its anti-pirate toolkit. It states parties that knowingly facilitate illegal broadcasting on their property are liable for fines up to $2 million. Back to you, Joe.
Very interesting, because a couple of years ago, there's about three or four of us in the area that have 6-meter repeaters, and 5315 W1GPO was having trouble with a pirate from Waterbury. They were having a second harmonic, or actually, there's no such thing as a subharmonic, but
half of their FM frequency of 106.3 was falling on 5315's input. I guess it was a little lower than that, 105.3 or something. But interestingly enough, we turned it into the FCC, found he was able to locate the house it was coming from. It was One Love Radio, they called themselves. It was a pirate station. There were three stations linked on the internet in the Fairfield County area, and the Waterbury one was interfering with his repeater input, and the FCC did nothing about it. So he had eventually moved frequencies. Interesting, I'm going to have to tell John we might take some action on it if that station is still alive. And yeah, the FT8900 problem, search the internet for disabling internet or INT. There's a way to reprogram that so it will not happen. I've done it on one of my FT8900s, but not the other one. And I've got something interesting here, kind of not ham-related, but it is Ham Shack Hotline, hamshackhotline.com. There is a group of hams who have formed a VoIP telephone network. I've got one sitting here, a Cisco phone. You buy on the internet. I bought mine for $23 with shipping. And you have it programmed up, and I can dial up other hams who have the similar phone. It's switched someplace in the United States. I don't know where. Kind of a useless thing, but an interesting toy. I can plug it into my router, and I just dial an extension, and I can ring another ham friend of mine who has the same phone. Kind of an interesting toy, kind of useless, but fun to play. Back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Interesting story about the 6-meter repeater and the issue with the Waterbury place. And good information on the Ham Shack hotline. And your opinion of it is, I think, what my opinion is. It's a neat toy, but not sure, you know. I think of it sort of like DMR, both kind of relying on the internet, but still, it's an interesting thing to work on. But let's find out what Dave thinks, or if he has any other comments he'd like to bring forth. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, this is K1DCT, and what I think, that is a scary proposition there, Tim. Let's see. The Pirate Act is Hotel Romeo 583, HR 583. So it's out there. The one thing that concerns me about this is if they can't come in and shut down the radio station, they come and pretty much blame the landlord and expect you to do something. And of course, in the middle of this whole pandemic thing, it's hard to, as a landlord, get anyone out. Not that it isn't hard all the time, but to get anyone out during this is even harder. So they're kind of blaming the landlord for something that they should be able to figure out, which kind of bothers me a little bit. So that's my take on that, and I haven't read through the whole thing, and I probably won't, but that's my take on that. Let's see, what else? Ham Radio Hotline. Yes, I have looked into this a little bit, and I haven't bought anything yet. And I know Kevin X will probably have some comment about this. And I find it, like Joe said, it's interesting, but, you know, just another toy, I guess. I'm not sure I'm going to buy one of these phones. I can remember walking into phone rooms when I was gainfully employed, and there's a box of these laying there. I could have taken one, and nobody would have ever known the difference. So I'm not sure I'm going to buy one to do this, but if I come across a box of them somewhere, Well, who's to say how many were in that box? K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you for your comment there, Dave. And hopefully you will come across the box. But anyhow, next we're going to... Oh, just I just realized that I should have squeaked Stan in there because he is mobile. So, Kevin, if you hold on for a moment, if you're near the mic, I want to squeeze Stan in here. Stan, are you still mobile? Do you have any thoughts and comments about what we've been talking about or anything else you'd like to bring up? KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. No, actually, no comments. Kind of interesting, though, with the transmitting, you know, especially with the Christmas this year. I mean, there's a few homes around here that are transmitting music on FM. Wonder if that would fall under that Pirate Act. I know they're probably transmitting at like a quarter watt. So that would be one question if that would fall under it. And Joe, I do appreciate that suggestion on the INT. I actually made it to my base station and I turned that off too, so hopefully I didn't have any problems. And I got to take a look at my FT60. Because I do have problems connecting into this repeater with my FT60. I got to figure out how to turn that off. So I do appreciate that tip. So this is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, very good. And on the FT60, try this with the bottom left-hand button as an F/W. And if you press that, one of the little icons on the screen, I think it looks like an atom or something, you know, with a figure eight or whatever. I think that should disappear, and I think that'll fix it for you. I just want to verify your call sign and name, because I think I'm getting something wrong here. Is it Kilo Charlie 1 Gulf Queen Zulu? And is your name Stan, as in Sierra Tango Alpha November?
The actual name is Dan, D A N, and yeah, it is KC1GQZ.
Okay, very good. I did have it wrong. I've been calling you Stan all this time, so my apologies for that. Okay, next we'll go to Kevin, who's been, we'll see if he's back and if he has any comments for the second round. KC1PDG, KC1PWR.
I am present and accounted for. Thank you, Tim. Good discussion and topics tonight. Let's see. Yeah, I'll start with the Ham Shack Hotline. There's been a considerable amount of discussion about that on the air lately, and it's been kind of interesting to listen to. I align myself with the group that says, well, I don't hear anything. I don't know of anything compelling me to give it a try. Although I did hear one thing, it's a little fuzzy in my mind, I think, but I thought I heard someone talking about being able to use this telephone on the VOIP network that they have to get into DMR or something like that, or get into certain DMR nets or something like that, which makes me wonder if it would have some application for people like me who are just generally technically challenged. But other than that, I was kind of, okay, that's cool, whatever. Not my thing, but other people might think it's worth trying out. The FCC topic, let me reset. A couple of stations have already pointed out one or two things that are a little bit odd about it. Maybe we'll use that word. I can see where, well, first of all, they're using the word broadcasting, and it's under something called the Pirate Act. Makes me think of pirate radio, although I suspect that act has more in it than just radio stuff. I could see some, it's really oriented toward broadcasting, not so much people doing what we're doing, for example. Although it's probably quite feasible that the act, the law, could be used for that purpose if necessary. But I think it's more geared toward folks that are using the airwaves and transmitting without a license, with power that's not allowed without a license, and, you know, playing music and telling jokes and stuff. And I remember the day, I assume it's still true, that if the FCC saw a physical threat to its field personnel, they would simply grab another law enforcement entity or in the neighborhood, or perhaps a couple of military folks, usually Marines from what I've heard, and that would alleviate any problems that might come up high. But it also occurs to me that the commission seems to be getting a little proactive with its revenue ingestion, bringing in money. So I just kind of throw that out there. One more quickie. I'll make it super quick. Sort of my own topic here. It's always fun when you have a ham buddy that you've talked to, say, on 2 meters or whatever, and all of a sudden you work them on another band. And that happened to me today, and that was kind of really cool. And I know he sort of enjoyed it, too. And that was, I was tuning across, I think it was 40 meters, and came across NK1V working Parks on the Air. Now, I may have worked Steve once before on HF, or heard him on HF, but I'd never caught him during an activation where I could give him a point for activating one of the parks under the POTA program. So that was really fun. It's a little thing, it's a silly thing, but it's part of what makes ham radio kind of enjoyable. KA6PDG back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Excellent comments. And let's go to that person you spoke to on 40 meters or wherever for Parks on the Air. And K1B, any comments for the second round of the tips net? This is KC1TWR.
And K1B here. Yes, actually it was quite a surprise. I was actually on 80 meters, and it was at the very top of the band, 3995, I believe. I guess that would be the top or the bottom. I don't know how I did that confused. But it was very close to the edge, but not over the edge. Yeah, and I had done a miserable Parks on the Air experience this morning, although I learned some more lessons, which is always a good thing. Went out in the very too cold, it was much too cold, and I did some testing very close to power lines with an inexpensive radio and froze to death and so on and so forth. But this afternoon, after getting all my chores done, I did go to Nathan Hale State Forest and had an excellent activation. And so then I, as usual in the evening, I tried to get on 80 meters after doing 40 or 20 just to get some of my local pals and stuff in. And there, behold, was Kevin. So that was kind of cool. And we had a little chit-chat, and that was good. It's always nice because I already had the activation, and I was just kind of filling in some time before the sun went down. So that was good to hear from an old friend, or new friend, or a friend. I'll never reset. On the internet phone thing, the Cisco phone, I kind of look at it two different ways, in humor, of course, because it's I keep picturing in my mind as little kids with the soup cans and the piece of string, and actually being able to hear each other better by shouting than through the cans, but just the coolness of it, which is so cool. And I kind of see, you know, it's being older technology and not really that commonly used. But then again, as amateur radio operators, part of what we do is
constantly innovating in ways to communicate under the worst or most unexpected conditions. So to have such a device and have a network of hams or friends, because I don't know if you don't really need a ham license either, I guess, as a backup to a backup, you know, just and you never really know what's going to go down, what's going to work and what's not going to work, and it may just be a source of communicating. So it's kind of a cool thing. So probably, as I think Dave mentioned, you know, if there was a box room I walked by and no one's going to notice there's one missing out of the box, or I could throw a $20 bill in the box and get one, I'd probably play around with it. Back to net, MK1B.
Okay, very good comments. Thank you, Steve. And next we'll move on to Jerry, see what he thinks about everything that's been said, and anything else he might want to bring up for the second round of the TIPSnet. K1JMN, KC1TWR. Nothing heard from Jerry. Let me give it one more quick try. K1JMN, KC1TWR. Okay, next we'll move on to Chuck, see what he thinks about this ham radio hotline or anything else. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Well, I don't think I'll be buying into it right away. It's a little too far away from radio, and it involves a skill set that I don't have. Not that I have many to start with, but it doesn't appeal to me. I have nothing against it. I think it's great that people are experimenting and doing things with available hardware. It's just not a direction that I'm going right at the moment. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, and I'm kind of in the same place thinking that you are. But let's move on to Kevin, the other Kevin in Groton. See, it was alluded that he may know something about the same radio hotline, but he may have some other comments he wants to bring to the second round of the TIPSnet. KC1MVX, KC1TWR.
KC1MVX. Yeah, I wanted to clarify from the first round. I wasn't insinuating that the Pirate Act was going to directly affect amateur communications. My point was that a landlord is going to hear radio communications, millions of dollars in fines. Hey, there's a guy who has an antenna up. I'm just going to put out a mass bulletin saying I want all antennas taken down, so I don't even get implicated into this. Although, it's still probably obscure enough that landlords aren't going to hear about it until somebody actually gets pinged on it near them. That being said, though, I'm sure anybody that does own a residential area probably has meetings where they get informed on that type of stuff. So who knows? So my worry is just, or more advice is just, make sure you know how to explain the difference between amateur radio and transmitting versus illegal broadcasting, because this could prompt your landlord to come question you. And I do have something on the ham hotline in DMR. Let me reset. So with me being new to amateur radio, I'll of course have a different opinion than some people who have been along around longer with it. But I look at it as amateur communications, and I look at something like the ham hotline as it's not just, hey, you know, we can't use it because the internet's down, and that's when we would need communications anyways. It could be, hey, all the frequencies are being taken up with emergency comms. We can coordinate our local effort, maybe with the ham hotline stuff. And I don't remember if it was Jerry or who said it, but to clarify, you do have to be a licensed amateur to get access to the ham hotline. But that ham hotline itself is sort of a privately made thing. You can use those Cisco phones to do anything with VoIP, and you don't really need the infrastructure of the internet. You need servers, but you don't need the internet. And similar thing with DMR, which I just got DMR. Remember, while DMR does utilize the internet, you can simplex VHF DMR radio to radio, which means you can simplex further on less power, and instead of your voice being frequency modulated, it's sending a digital signal that isn't being interpreted by somebody else's DMR radio. So just my perspective on it, just keep in mind, it's not just communicating via the internet. There's a little bit more to it. KC1NVX, back to net.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Very good comments on several subjects. Okay, we've gone through the list twice, and it's getting a little bit late. Let me do a call out to see if anybody else would like to join, and then we'll go into the second and third sections of the TIPSnet. If anybody would like to join the TIPSnet or any additional comments for the first section, please come with your call sign now. Okay, nothing heard, so we'll start the second section of the TIPSnet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
Here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. One announcement. Thank you, Tim. Well, I imagine most of you on the net know, but there may be others listening in, that the Christmas Eve net is tomorrow night. Oh, that means tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Yes, indeed. The Christmas Eve net, all amateurs are welcome. It's at 8 o'clock. We've done this for a good number of years. I don't know how many, maybe 10 years or something. And it's a fun opportunity to just check in and share a holiday-related thought or reflection, or maybe a very, very short, silly story, or just key up and say hi. It's very laid back, and you also it's on the Norwich repeater system, the N1NW system, on 146.730. The 440 isn't working too well. It's on a temporary antenna, but that's a 449.725 standard offset. And both repeaters have a subaudible tone of 156.7, PL tone of 156.7, also accessible via Echolink. That would be Echolink node 711268. Or just look up November Alpha 1 Charlie November Dash Romeo on Echolink. That's NA1CN-R. And get into the net that way. At 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, there's going to be a very special guest checking in with us. Remember that if you'd like, have some family members and little ones around, and that third-party communications is allowed by Part 97 as long as the amateur radio station is being operated by a licensed ham and identifies in accordance with the rules. So we may have some young ones that want to say hi to our special guest or other family members that just want to say good evening. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, followed by the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net at 9. One final bit of info on it. Chuck, anyone, CN, put out an announcement on the reflector, the Raycon reflector, and mentioned that if folks wanted to link up their repeaters via Echolink, that that was welcome. If you plan on doing that and have any questions, contact Chuck, N-A-1-C-N, at his call book, email, etc. I would suggest, since I'm going to be the net control, if you are going to be doing any linking of repeaters, please be good enough, if you can, to establish those links about 10 minutes before the net begins. That'll make it easier for everybody. Thanks for the time, Tim. Hope I wasn't too long-winded. KA6PDG, and Merry Christmas.
I
was busy signing autographs here. I apologize. Yeah, I think they did a good job with the story. It was about the Christmas Eve jingle, which is worldwide. Everybody get out on your back porch or front porch and ring a bell at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, your local time, Christmas Eve, and show some peace and love and goodwill and unity in a world that's known a lot of sadness over the last year. So that's what it was about. And the I was telling somebody, I think, on the air earlier that the reporter actually, at one point we were shooting the breeze, they were moving the cameras around or something, and she says, "By the way, aren't you a ham radio operator?" And I thought for a minute, I see it's 8 o'clock, and I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I is. And she had interviewed me a long time ago about some sort of ham radio thing. Don't remember what it was. But it was fun doing that, and the station did a real good job with it. KA6PDG, back tonight.
I'll just jump in and say, Kevin, nice job. I enjoyed the interview. I even rewound and played it a couple of times. I wanted to say you were handsome in it, but I don't know. Back to net control.
Okay,
any other comments about that or anything else for check-ins, please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and as we have no further check-ins or comments, I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and to all those who stood by and listened while we conducted the net. So I want to thank John, Joe, Dave, Kevin, Dan, Steve, Jerry, Chuck, and Kevin for participating this evening in a very good net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office in Montville. However, during this pandemic, they are meeting on Zoom, and their meetings are announced on their website usually a day or two in advance. It's always the second Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., and it's open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information can be found at the club website, www.tricityarc.net. That's tricityarc.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone a good evening and 73.
KC1MVX, are you